eyes, I scrub my only free but dirty hand down my equally filthy face. The stench of rot and death lingers everywhere, and the taste of bile and rust coats the back of my tongue. The sword I still clutch feels heavier than ever before, as blood drips from its tip onto the soiled ground. It's been a few days since I last ate, but how long has it been since I last bathed? More than days, perhaps. Is it weeks? I'm sure it's been one of the two. Certainly it hasn't been months yet. Has it? No. Surely one of my men would have said something if it gotten to that point. Then again, they aren't much better off than I am, as I watch those who've survived the latest fucking battle trudge back through the woods toward camp. General! I turn as a fellow soldier calls out to me. A young man of no noble descent approaches, his own dented armor coated in blood. From the way he's limping, at least some of it must be his own. I withhold a wince at feeling as if that, too, is my fault. After all, these men are my responsibility. Their lives and deaths weigh upon me, as well as the king's expectations. As the soldier moves closer, I search my mind for his name. Colin, I say, finding it amidst the foggy memories collecting in my mind. The man comes to a stop a few feet from me, breathing heavily. Despite his obvious fatigue, he beams at me at the sound of his name on my tongue, as if he's not used to someone of a higher status even bothering to learn the names of those he fights alongside. I know there are plenty of nobles who sneer and turn their noses up at the common folk, but out here, when friendship is the difference between life and death, there are no noblemen. Only those who are dead, and those who are not. Rosentine is not a kingdom that's often attacked, nor one that's plagued by many wars. In fact, this mere skirmish likely won't even make it into the history books. These men, my fucking men, who laid their lives before the king and their people, will be forever forgotten as lost ones in between the lines written in old leather-bound volumes too expensive for a commoner to touch, much less learn to read. I crack my neck to the side and silently push away the disgust that rises up within me. Instead, I focus my attention on the red-haired and freckled man with eyes a dull shade of green and a face that's almost as youthful as my own. Though he's at least 3 years older than me, I stand taller than him and wider. Still, he must be decent with that blade that hangs at his hips, or he wouldn't have made it this far. "The king has sent a messenger," he announces suddenly. "Which king?" I demand. "Ours? Or the Vetus Isles?" Colin breathes through his mouth, slowly and evenly, as if he's trying to assuage some of the pain of his wounds. Despite the obvious discomfort in the way the corners of his mouth and eyes crinkle, he smiles again. His eyes alight on my own, and before he answers, I already know what he's about to say. There's too much relief on his features. "The Vetus Isles, King," he says. I nod slowly before turning back to survey our surroundings. This is it, then, I think. It's finally over. After so long away from home, these ridiculous skirmishes and the threat of the Vetus Isles inhabitants attempting to breach our borders to make a new home for themselves, not under the House of Sunfire's divine rule, have ended. The Vetus Isles king has finally put a stop to his people's audacity. This news comes none too soon either. My soldiers, my army, as stable and strong as they are, have been on the front lines for longer than anyone else. They're tired, hungry, and weary. Just like me. Sheathing the sword still gripped in my fist, I pivot away from the battlefield and march back to camp. Colin follows. I don't stop until I make it to the commander's tent, my tent, and even then I know that sitting down doesn't mean it's truly time to rest. I wave my hand to Colin. "Bring the messenger." I relay the order, and Colin nods before quickly disappearing through the tent's open flap.